Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. Alan J. Huth shares a Bible passage with comments from over 35 years of his personal Bible reading journals and applies the Word of God to our daily lives.
Today we continue Noah's Ark. We are in Genesis chapter 8, and we'll listen to our guest reader, Dr. Woodrow Kroll, former president of Back to the Bible, read the 22 verses of Genesis chapter 8.
Genesis chapter 8. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him any more. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife, and your sons and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease."
The only journal entry I have for Genesis chapter 8 is in the year 2007, and I wrote, "Waiting. The rain stopped. Noah probably wanted out of that ark, but he waited. He waited on instructions from the Lord. Many days go by. He tests with a few birds, but he waits on the Lord. Then God spoke to Noah. God releases him from the ark and instructs him to be fruitful and multiply on the earth. The first thing Noah did was build an altar to the Lord. Though Noah honored God, God knows the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. Basically good or basically evil? According to God, evil. So we need a Savior. You have probably heard it argued like I have. Is man basically good or basically evil? Many want to believe that we are basically good. But a reading of the first 8 chapters of Genesis tells us something different, doesn't it? Back in Genesis chapter 3, in a very good world, the Garden of Eden virtually perfect, man was still tempted to be like God and failed. In chapter 4, the story of Cain and Abel, the Lord reminded us sin is crouching at the door and we must rule over it, but we fail. In Genesis chapter 6, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth. Also in chapter 6, the word says, Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence, and God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So from the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, sin nature has been passed on generation after generation. Even after the cleansing flood, God reminds us, the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Any parent would know, you never have to teach your child to do something wrong. It seems to come naturally, doesn't it? As parents, we spend most of our time trying to correct children and to raise them right. So I would submit to you that these first few chapters of Genesis make it very clear that man has a sin nature. He is basically evil. And throughout the generations, from Adam to Noah to today, nothing has changed. There are a couple lessons I can glean from Genesis chapter 8. One is, how good are you, how good am I, at waiting on the Lord? Surely Noah was sick and tired of being in that ark with all those crazy animals. But Noah learned to wait on the Lord, to wait on God's instructions. Are you patient? Do you wait on the Lord? Are you good at waiting on the Lord's instructions? Maybe you're facing a challenge today. Maybe there's something in your life right now that you would like an answer to. Wait on the Lord. Maybe God is reminding you to apply patience in your circumstances, even this day. And there's another interesting lesson in the last verse of this chapter. It says, While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. These podcasts are being recorded in a time in our world when people talk about global warming and climate change and somehow give man credit for the rising temperature on the earth or the cooling of the earth or the melting of the ice caps in the North Pole. I believe that's because we have ignored God's word. This verse tells me, while the earth remains. So as long as the earth remains, there will always be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. God controls the world, not man. God is the first environmentalist, not man. And whether the temperature on the earth is rising or falling, it's of the Lord, not man. Now, I guess I didn't mean to get political. I just try to be biblical. And that's what the verse says, doesn't it? I personally will always put my faith in the Lord and His word over science and the thoughts of men. And the last lesson from chapter 8 is this. After a crisis, after Noah and his family faced probably the greatest crisis in their life, what did they do? They built an altar to the Lord. How about you? When you come out of a crisis, do you build an altar to the Lord? Maybe you've faced the crisis of a natural disaster like a flood. Maybe you're facing a crisis of being cooped up in a circumstance or situation that you do not enjoy. Maybe you're tired of waiting for an answer in a certain circumstance in your life right now. Whatever your crisis is, it will end, just like the flood ended, just like the ground began to dry, just like the Lord said to Noah, you can leave the ark. God knows your crisis. He knows your circumstances. Wait for His instructions. And then when your crisis passes, build an altar to the Lord. Father, help us through the floods in our own lives. Help us through the difficult circumstances in our lives. Teach us to wait patiently on You. Speak to us like you spoke to Noah. And Lord, when our crisis ends, remind us to build an altar back to you. May our honor and our sacrifice to you be a pleasing aroma in your heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.